So let's read verses 13 to 18. If I get done quick, we'll keep going, but I doubt it. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, if you look over to the right part of the page, if you look at chapter 5, verse 11, what I was going to do, and I will end up doing, but I'm going to split it up here. Verse 18 of chapter 4, notice it says, comfort one another with this. And later we get comfort and edify. There's something going on here that I think is important. I wanted to do it all as one, but we'll see. But what is, when you consider these verses from 13 to 17 are supposed to bring comfort to your heart. What does it mean to be comforted? When you consider comfort, what does that mean to you? Like, we have comfort foods. I do, pizza.
I guess the absence of being worried or afraid.
Okay, so we have the absence of being worried.
Contentment.
Not too hot, not too cold. We're comfortable. Peace. Is that what we're all longing for in our lives? Daily, right? What allows us to enter in to that comfort? Jesus, rest, trust, faith, believing. Just like in Thessalonians 2:13, it says, when they received the word which they heard from us, they welcomed it not as men, but as in truth the word of God. Which also effectively works in those who believe. You see, to receive comfort from his word, I have to believe him and be able to take him at his word, that he's not lying. Right? So we have to look at these things. So I wanted to talk about that comfort's one thing, but edification brings about something else. So the way I'm looking at comfort and edification, to edify one another later, to comfort one another is really for me, and as I was looking, is stop the falling. To come in a place where I can have peace and rest in my life and stop wavering and shaking, struggling, looking outside, looking at everything going on, and my heart can be settled. So I stop falling in fear, unrest, frustration. You see, it's like a stopping point. It can bring a place to where you can be settled. And the Lord's desire is for us to have our hearts settled before him, that we can trust in him and rely on him. I think we all know from the basic general word that things are getting, I don't think things are really getting worse, but I think they're speeding up, and because we're going through it, it seems worse. And it's a lot faster, and I think, well, in some ways it is heavier, but it is in our face. But the Lord is still the same. And he doesn't change. And so I wanted to talk a little about that comfort today and look at some verses, because we find comfort through his word, because we have Jesus, who is the word made flesh. And we see all these things that have been able to be embodied in a man and walked out to be an example for us, that the same example he wants to be able to work in and through us. So, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Anybody have any ideas what that means? What's it mean to be ignorant?
You don't have the knowledge.
Okay. You don't have the truth. So what he's saying is, I want to share with you, so if you don't understand or don't know, I want to open up your eyes and your understanding that of talking about those who have fallen asleep, who have died in Christ already. Or they say asleep because they're no longer with us here. Every person that's born again and has received the Holy Spirit into their lives has died already. And you will not die again. You might fall asleep, but you will never die. So, in 1 Corinthians, let's take out all the things we know, but we got to establish so we understand and remember. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's talking. I'm sorry, verse 12. Chapter 15, verse 12. Because these things are important to be established in your faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he was raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Look, simply put, if Jesus didn't rise again, we're all wasting our time here today. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if then Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Everybody comforted? Why? Because we know he's risen. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all, of all men, the most pitiable. This is not the end. This is not the life. Well, this is the life we're here now, but he has so much more for us. And to coming to a place, we need to understand first and foremost that we're living and walking with and following a risen Lord. Death could not contain him. He actually defeated death at that cross so that we can have life. So let's look at a few things here back in Thessalonians. We're going to be in Hebrews and bouncing around as usual. But he says that he doesn't want us to sorrow as those who have no hope. Well, we have a future and a hope. That's what we're told in Jeremiah. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. A hope is something to hang on to believe in and trust. Sometimes a hope is a wishful thought, like I hope it doesn't rain later. It's kind of a wish. But with hope, I have an expectation of a promise from the one who does not lie. And in Hebrews, you don't have to turn there. It says, inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, speaking of Jesus, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power over death, that is, the devil, and release those who by fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Jesus, it says, destroyed the power of death. What is death?
Separation from God.
Separation from God. Because we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Right? Our life is found in Him. Those who aren't in Christ are living and abiding under His wrath right now. I don't, but you see that what this is teaching here is that the world, and even many believers, need to shake it out of them, and that is, they live under the fear of death. Before you were born again, you all had it, and even sometimes I think believers forget that they've died already, and your life is hidden. So we got to remember that because of His death, we can live and rest. So as He comes through, the words of encouragement here reminds them that He's coming to take us home. Which means you're not home right now. So I don't know what we're all holding on to. There is nothing here for you except for trials, torment, frustration, doubt, and by faith a walk with Jesus. That we get enlightened and we'll see more and more as we stand before Him. The day we should all be longing for. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Right? But He says in the meantime, look, I'm promising you. What does He say here in verse 15? This we say to you by the word of the Lord. That those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with Him in the clouds to meet Him in the air. I want to point out a couple of things in these verses. Verse 14. We see God will bring. Verse 15, the Lord will. Verse 16, the Lord Himself will. End of verse 16, Christ will rise. The dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Are these suggestions? Are they possibilities? Is it a truth from the Lord of what He will do? So God's Word gives us, we have His Word that's steadfast, right? That we can hold on to. Hebrews 6:17, if you want to look at it. Hebrews 6:17 says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. What He's saying here, I'm trying to show you, I want you to see abundantly His promise. The immutability of His counsel confirmed by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled to for refuge to lay a hold of the hope set before us. You know, in Thessalonians it says he wrote this so that you would sorrow that you don't have hope. In Hebrews we start reading about a hope that we have. It's an anchor of our souls. When you think of your soul, what is that?
The immaterial part of you.
Which is?
Spirit.
Your thoughts.
Your will.
Your will, emotions.
Mindsets.
So we need to flee, and because of His promises and that He cannot lie, He's given us His Word. Now, we know that Word became flesh in a person. So we're not just looking at this as dead letters, as a law, but as a life-breathing Spirit. As the Lord breathes His life into us, we see that He's working that into us to give us an anchor for our soul. To keep our mind, the anchor, where is it? Both sure, steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Where is our anchor?
Up.
It's up. But where is it?
It's in Christ.
It's in Christ. It's behind the veil already. My hope is that I have access to His presence, and it's the only thing in which I can stand. And I have the cool thing is I don't have to worry about saying, "You're not anchoring here," and throw it down. He's going to keep it. He's just not going to lie. This hope we have is an anchor. It's to keep us grounded so we don't drift away, as it talks about in Hebrews, or fall away, or all these other ways to go. There's many ways to fall. There's many ways to flounder, but there's only one way to stand. And that's because we're anchored. Do you understand that He's the one that's anchored you? And He's the one holding you? And He's not going to release the anchor. So we have Jesus, our forerunner, who has entered in behind the veil, who is anchored on the mercy seat. That where we find mercy and grace in time of need. So we need to lay hold, right? A lot of people, when they're stuck and the waves get real bad, sometimes when they think they're going to drown, they'll let loose all their anchor. Paul did it later. Let loose the anchors and see what happens. The Lord won't let you, because He's got a hold of you, and He tells us there's nothing that can snatch you from His hands. See, that gives me comfort in the point of the time when there's a trial. What's that?
As long as your head's above the water, you can't drown. And our head is seated in the heavenly place.
You don't even have to go...
Can I share something else real quick? This is really cool.
No, go for it.
The word paradox in the Greek is beyond the veil. So when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me beyond the veil."
Right.
I think that's cool.
And that only came from Him saying, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom." So we have this hope. It's Jesus. It's not in anything else. It's not in our works. It's not in my righteousness. It's not in my faults and my failures. My hope is in Christ alone. That He has a hold of me and He has me tied. And I'm anchored in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God at all times. Yes?
This verse just keeps coming to me strongly, and I want to say, the steadfast love of God never fails.
Never.
And I think of that when, you know, when if I find myself in these times, my hope is saving something. But I know the steadfast love, His love, never fails. And I, you know, you can cling to that like an anchor. That's my anchor.
But we can only cling to that because if it's His Word, and we know He's true, right? Because He's given us something on letter that we can become life. right? That the Spirit can bring light to it, that I can hold on to it and grab on to it. So, and keep in mind why the letter was written to these people. They're on fire for the Lord, new believers sharing Jesus, and during that time, family members are getting locked up in prison for their belief, killed, losing their livelihood when everybody says, I'm not buying from a Christian. Cut off. Kind of sounds like what's going to happen in the end. So Paul's trying to encourage them to press on. Stop faltering. Stop failing. Stop falling. I want to comfort you and stabilize you so you can move forward. I'd ask Debbie if, well, actually, I got to share another verse first. 2 Corinthians 1 says, blessed be, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of some comfort. Wrong translation. All comfort. If you are not, if you're in a place where you need comfort, no matter what it is right now, it's the God of all comfort. It comes from Him, and He brings it. It's part of the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, I believe, but there's areas for me to be comforted. I needed to walk in belief, trust in the one in whom said, I won't lie. So that we're, He's the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort. And He comforts us in our tribulation. Every one of us has it. The depths it takes is as much as you look at that tribulation compared to the one who comforts. But we all have tribulations. We all have trials. You might look at mine and say you don't have any. You look at my wife and say she has a lot. That's just by observance, right? She's easy to get along with and she has to deal with me. We all have our own trials. But all those trials are to conform us into the image of Christ, so that as we're squeezed through the trial, the only thing that comes from us is Jesus. As we're established. So He comforts us in tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Too often in this world, people are trying to comfort others without God in the picture. We have whole industries based on that. And usually you end up with a med. Or a pill. So it's the Lord who comforts us, and He brings about His word to settle us, to establish us, to stop the drowning, per se, to keep our heads above water. And I wanted to share. I asked Debbie if she would share a word that the Lord gave her that comforted her.
Okay, well, basically, I was telling the people on Friday night study that were there that the night that Tim and Dave were murdered, when I found out that Tim had died, when the police came to me and told me that he was dead, the first thing that came to my mind was God had completed what He started in them. And it did bring comfort, because I knew, I mean, as sad as I was that everything had happened, I knew that Tim was complete. And God promised that, and God delivered that. And He was there, and for some reason, I told them on Friday night, I was left behind. I don't really know, except that my work isn't done yet. He has a complete way for it in me. He's working on me just like he's working on everyone. But it's a real blessing to know that God's word always delivers. And, you know, it's funny, as I'm reading this, as you're telling this, it's so neat that God, that Tim is going to be going before me, you know, that unless I die before the Lord comes back, you know, but it's nice to know that God's word is faithful. God is faithful.
The God of the Word.
Yeah, that's right.
That's important, right? The God of His Word that is faithful. And He's given His Word for something to hold on to, so that He can reveal Himself to us. Thank you. Every one of us has areas that we're struggling with. But God will complete. He's actually completed it already if we would just believe and walk in it.
You know, God, I love this word that Paul uses of wait. It's not only a general word towards those we have lost and gone before, but it's so accurate, so true. And I wish we could see beyond the veil. Like, I wish you could see, because we don't need to see the sad side. We see the really rough on this side, you know. But on the other, they would just go right through, right into the arms of Jesus. So,
and that's what we need to do by faith now.
We do by faith.
Right, but there's no difference.
Like, this is nothing. That's everything. You know, it would be.
There's only one thing going to be different in heaven than there is now, and that's the rise of faith. The faith that's going to be gone,
yeah.
And this tainted blood's going to be out of here.
Can I read a verse too? This
yes.
In the line of 2 Corinthians, and it's verse 21. And He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has healed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And it just reminds me of that. We are Christ's inheritance. And He, what He puts as a deposit, we might lose all of our money, and the market can go up and down, but Christ does not lose His deposit. We are a guarantee, sealed with the Spirit. He builds.
I mean, there's going to be a point in time when money's worthless.
That's right. Well, we are sealed with Him, and we are in Christ, sealed by the Spirit.
And where is He?
And He has given us the deposit. We are the deposit. He ain't going to lose it.
Right, but where is He?
He is at the right hand of the right hand.
He's in the throne, in the mercy seat, interceding before us on our behalf, 24/7.
What was your reference for us?
Just 2 Corinthians 1:20.
It's hard not to keep reading.
2 Corinthians, yeah. It's talking about the church, but God is faithful, everything that we've been saying. You know, He's faithful. He's ever angered. We are His inherent. I mean,
right.
He keeps telling us, but I don't know. Here comes here. Getting through.
So I just had a couple more verses. James 5:7-8 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. It's something that He's coming. And He does not delay. His timing is perfect. We might not understand it, but the only way you'll have comfort in all this is if you rest and believe. If not, you're going to be striving and struggling and fighting and kicking against the gates. I mean, that's just, it's one or the other. But in James, He says, be patient. Brethren, this isn't for the ladies. This is just for brethren. You wish. Blessed, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. I think before we go forth, the Lord came to Debbie and gave her a word. He came. And as she believes, that word's becoming flesh and resting and trusting in His word. the same thing. See how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earlier and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's not going to be long. We're in the last days. The last days on our end have been 2,000 years plus, give or take. But it's not going to be long. The Lord is at hand. And I just want to leave you with this. It says, but in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And that's what the Lord is desiring to do. He's a God of all grace. Not one of us deserves it. All we can do is receive it and say thank you. It's His desire to perfect you. It's His will. He wants you to be established. He wants you to take that established and then be strengthened from that. You see, you have to be comforted and established so you can move. So you have a foundation. And our foundation, if it's built by a wise, it's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ the rock. Not shifting sand. Like how I feel every day. And settle you. Remember last week we were talking about that we would aspire to lead a quiet life. How can I have a quiet life if I'm not settled? And the settlement can only come from the Lord Himself when we surrender and He increases our faith that we can walk in it. You have to have a foundation, and that comes through comfort. And the word comfort here in the Greek, it's funny, I can't pronounce Greek, but it's the same derivative of the comforter, the paraclete. This is the action of that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to bring you and settle you before the Lord and say, I'm yours. You're mine. One day I'm coming to take you home. Next week we'll talk about until then a little bit. So if you want to read the rest of the beginning of chapter 5 for next week, that's where we'll be. I doubt we'll get through the whole chapter. Yes. I'm sorry. This is the New King James. I can't promise. Sometimes I read different ones, but usually I read from this here. So, this is why. Did you have a better translation?
You gave me that scripture after telling Chris. I don't know how long afterwards, but you didn't give me that, so I hold on to that.
Mm-hmm. As we hold on to His words, like holding on to Jesus Himself and the promise. Yeah. So, anyone else? Thoughts?
I would like to read this has been on my board for a month now. It's in Numbers 23:19, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor something that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? The first one he gave was in the New Testament.
God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I hope you were comforted. If not, I failed. Somebody else has. Now, the Lord, I'm joking, but God is good. And that's it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is steadfast and immovable. We thank you that we can come to you because you don't lie. We know who does. We lie to ourselves. We get lied to by the enemy and the world. But Lord, we know that when we come to you, we get truth. Lord, we don't want that truth to be head knowledge, just to know about you. We want those truths really, Lord, to anchor us, to draw us in to your presence, that we might find comfort and rest for our souls. And just thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.